Blog Talk Radio.
And I love it when everything starts as scheduled. So let's see if we can't get that started one more time. There we go.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, the weekly mortgage market update, providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
So good to have you with us, everybody. It is Monday, September 12th. The reason we say that is because we have a lot of people listen to this on a downloaded basis, so we're really grateful to have you join in, whether you're live. We have to have a good number of people dialing in live, mostly connected live via the internet. But for those of you that are listening after the fact, we welcome you too. It's good to have you with us. It's Monday again, September 12th. This broadcast and our podcast, and this podcast was created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals primarily, although we got a large audience everywhere, around the world. I'll tell you about that here in just a minute. But we're the proud recipient of the Progress in the Lending Innovation Award. So good to have you with us, everybody. We appreciate you joining us and making this your way of staying on top of all that's going on. In today's Hot Topic segment, we will be talking to Keith Pulaski. I caught up with Keith on Friday. I'm unable to have him on live because of his schedule today, but I pre-recorded an interview with Keith. Remember, we had him on, I believe it was March 28th, talking about the process reengineering that he's doing in his shop, and it is very exciting stuff. And so he's giving us an update of some things and some major things that they've got going on. One of the fastest growing companies up in the Northeast. They caught the attention of the MBA, caught my attention. I met him last year at the Motivity Conference. So very exciting to have Keith back on the radio program. I'll be sharing his thoughts and updates, so be sure to stay tuned to the Hot Topic segment. Well, back in March, I met Keith Pulaski a year ago at the Motivity Conference. They are a power user of the Motivity solutions and of their measuring KPIs, and Keith is really into analytics. Well, probably one of the most purposed mortgage bankers I know in the industry. I mean, wants to know, like Andy says, where's my financials? This guy has them at very early in the month, and one of the most diligent guys that I know at managing his business. So I met him at Motivity. Not surprising I'd find him there. And I had him on my radio program back then, way back then, caught a few glimmers and glimpses of the wisdom that he has and how he's using technology so powerfully, on the cutting edge, always there. And I got to interview him again in March of this year. And I want to find out how this project, this efficiency project that Alice and I launched in his office, it is going. So we brought him on, and so with that, I want to share an interview that I recorded with Keith Pulaski this past Friday. So here you go. Keith, good to have you joining us again on the radio program. Very excited about your company. And just for those listeners that may not know who you are, tell us a little bit about yourself and your company again.
Yeah, Dave, a pleasure to be back. Enjoyed our last time on the show. One of the founders of Radius Financial Group, an independent mortgage banker, 100% retail, located up in the Boston market, serving the New England market primarily, and some of our snowbirds in Florida. We've been in business approaching 18 years and got about 100-plus employees in the company. Just received our Fannie Mae ticket and looking at us.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And hopefully have our Freddie ticket before National, and Ginny is in the work. So
good.
We're at that point of maturing as an IMB and taking those next steps. And while you and your compadres are out here helping us do some process stuff, that's just part of a growing company that needs to be able to scale. So, you can either sit where you're at and do things the way you did before, or sometimes you need to take action if you have plans to continue growing your company.
Well, you are a leader in your market. You're a leader in the industry. I mean, even David Stevens, you caught his attention. He flew in to take a look at what you're doing, because what you are doing at your company, at Radius Financial Group, is not like anything I've seen at many other companies. And so I celebrate your leadership, and I celebrate what you're doing and your vision. A lot of companies.
Well, your words are kind, David, and I'm humbled by it because we're just trying to be smart mortgage bankers, and I think what we do as an industry, obviously, it's been wildly affected by the regulatory environment, but it's about blocking and tackling and doing the right things at the right time. And you know, I think that's why we have a successful recipe.
Well, when we were together in your office, you gave me a Belichick plaque. Now, Belichick, I'm a Seattle Seahawks, so you know there's a little adversary there, but I have it in my office. It said, ignore the noise, do your job. And that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about how your people and how you're leading people to do their job there. You talked about a little bit a few moments ago. You said something about we want to be an intelligent company. Expand on that. What does being an intelligent company mean to Keith Pulaski?
Well, I think it's making almost all of our business decision and even our task decisions based on facts. So that means you have to have technology in place that measures the data that's in the factory floor, right? So our job is to loan manufacturing quality and build quality loans for sale into the secondary market. And we have to make sure that we're doing all of the decisioning based on facts. So we're all about measuring everything that happens in the company. And then you can only do that if you have a solid foundation of process. So you have to be both very process-driven and also data-dependent. And that's really how we wake up every morning and how I think about what's going on in my business is that we make sure that the decision we're doing is based on the data and the timelines that we've set from a key performance metric and various things of that nature. But if you don't have a solid, defined, communicated process that everybody works on, regardless of what their department is, it's very hard to keep the train on the tracks.
When you were making some of your opening comments, you talked about this in your previous interview on March 28th, 2016. You talked about those that manage by their gut and then those that manage by a purpose or by a compass. Now, the compass part is my words, but you very much have that sense, and you believe in putting a clear communication out to your staff of what is expected and how to go about it. But it's not a top-down management. Talk about your management philosophy as to how a company, how a mortgage company specifically, should be managed, because I think it's exemplary, and I want others to hear about it.
Well, as you witnessed when we went through the exercise with your firm of really looking under the hood and trying to isolate choke points in our own mortgage manufacturing process, we involved all the stakeholders. So if you were part of opening/setup, then those people were in the room to give insight to where they thought their job needed other resources or where we were forcing them to do tasks that they didn't think were, you know, about. So everything we look at is try to measure efficiency and velocity, right? Mm-hmm. And we try to get as many loans as possible across, you know, a static factory floor that we involved all the stakeholders and then had them buy in. You know, they had to sign off on their both upstream and downstream customers and what their handoffs would look like. And so that process took us a long time, and it's still a work in progress. I don't know that we'll ever be done, to be quite honest with you. But we still got much heavy lifting ahead of us. Obviously, when we talked in March, I don't know that everybody would have guessed where we are from a volume standpoint. So, you know, sometimes business gets in the way, but we're certainly a better manufacturer of loans today because of that process that we started last fall, and we still have a lot of work to do. But you have to have buy-in from those that are actually doing the task and have managers direct that. But we really allowed our employees and our processors and underwriters and closers and post-closers to really refine and build out the workflow and the processes, as well as determine their key performance indicators, the KPIs, where we obviously vetted them from a management standpoint. But it's really hard to then allow an employee to backpedal from this. So they have to hold them accountable to what everybody's agreed to. And it has worked out well for us, but the project is not done, and we still got some more work. And as I said earlier, I think as this industry just keeps moving faster and faster, that I don't know that the project will ever be done. It's sort of going to be in a continuous learning loop and trying to refine and get better every time. I think it's almost going to be an infinite cycle.
It is. I think you're no question that this is something that never is done, because what is our industry known for? We're going through change. I mean, this industry is going through a transformation. So it will never be done. It's one of those things you make a commitment to it. But one of the things that impressed me is how you went about it was the involvement. Now, you talked about some of that in the earlier podcast. Let's talk about the results of involvement. Talk about it from a morale standpoint. You always have had your people. And by the way, I wish everyone in the industry could come and fly in and take a tour of your offices. It's like a high-tech environment. You have a fabulous kitchen at the heart and the center of your building. You literally have a multi-purpose room where people can do yoga, they can do all the exercise. I mean, this room, we rolled the tables in the middle of the room, but they got rolled up, folded up, and then you have mats around there where people can do yoga. I mean, I'm really impressed, and that appeals to the millennials. And so there's a whole other genre of conversation we could go down as to what you're doing and how you're doing it. But what I want to focus on is a morale that as you watch people get invited to be involved. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so prior to the process change, we started the whole metrics and measuring thing approximately two and a half years ago. And it was a cultural shift. People don't like to be really held accountable, and certainly then held accountable and sort of, you know, stack ranking against their peers within in a different work group. So there was some culture shock as we tried to push this out. Really took some intestinal fortitude by management, because it would have been easier just to abandon it when you have people that are unhappy. But as it finally got into the staff that this wasn't going away and that we really were serious about measuring everything, they then adopted it and took ownership of it. And I actually believe now that the result is that they want to perform in the top part of their work group. They don't want to be, you know, the last rank. And if they are the last rank, they at least want to be meeting the KPI set for the group. They don't want to be the one dragging down the average KPIs for the group. And they've taken ownership. Now, obviously, as a growing company, we're bringing new people in the door. And when we bring new people in the door from the industry that have industry experience, especially in the sort of skilled work groups, processors, underwriters, closers, they're exposed to a little bit of culture shock as well, because we sense and get that not many of my peers, you know, medium-sized independent mortgage bankers are doing some of the things that we're doing. I know that there are others out there that are, but I think that group that do it the way that we do it is a smaller portion of the population of independent mortgage bankers than a larger portion. And we get a little sticker shock when we do recruiting. So we've had to actually make full transparency in the recruiting process prior to hire and actually show the scorecarding and show the metrics so that we could get a sense whether these people could fit culturally into the organization.
Our friends at Motivity have a saying that what gets measured gets results. I think they borrowed it from someone else, but it's a great phrase, and what you do measure. And so a sense of being measured it can be a bit intimidating to people. But the fact, what I saw when I was there, and I'd love to have you comment a bit on this, is the fact that there, first of all, when they got over the shock that my opinion matters and that you're actually wanting my opinion, there was engagement. And at a level that I'm not sure people, it took a while for them to get used to. I mean, it's trust. I heard there's three T's when it comes to effective leaders. It starts with trust, truth, and then tact. And I love those three T's. I saw it in an article and posted it in social media earlier this week. But when you look at building trust, they began to trust you. And I can't help but believe, well, I've heard from several of them since you and I were together in your office, and they've said it's exciting to be asked my opinion on how to do things rather than just told how to do things. So give us some insights. Any particular stories that leap up out of what we did together and what you're still ongoing doing on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's happened is the week plus that we spent with your group, and I know you're out here twice.
Yeah.
During that time, I think we laid the foundation for, you know, I think every company says, oh, we have an open door policy. Go ahead, we have open door. You can say whatever you want to say. And while it may be in the employee manual that we foster an open door policy, I don't know that it actually happens in many organizations. And it probably didn't happen in my own organization for a long time. But when we included the staff, everybody at line level, in the process revamp, I think that was sort of an aha moment for our employees where it sort of just continued. And as we do other things, the employees' willingness to raise their hand and say, hey, can you come speak to me because I think I can add value here, has helped transform the company. We don't, you know, even when you go through a whole process remapping, you don't always get it right. Sometimes you feel pressed for time, and you may shortchange it as the day gets long. You know, especially in the skilled positions, that those were long sessions. So we've really have seen the willingness of our employees to raise their hand and say, hey, you know what, we should have further thought about this, and what do you think about that? And we have made tweaks and other changes and have moved various things into earlier or later in the factory assembly line. We talk about factory all the time here. Everybody gets it, that they have a role in the assembly line, and they have both upstream and downstream responsibilities, and we call them internal customers, and they need to make sure that they're serving their internal customers, obviously, all the while still serving the external customer, being, you know, ultimately the borrower.
Ultimately the borrower, yeah. Let's talk about service levels. As a result of you doing this, have you noticed a substantial change in service levels for your company?
Well, I think, here's what I would say. You know, with TRID coming on us in October and basically having to get your CDs out 3 days prior, it was like someone just waved a wand and said, you need to do your jobs that much faster, when we were already all at capacity and really didn't have 3 days that could just be magically taken out. It's one of the main reasons that we actually went through this process, is to say, do we really have 3 days here that we can squeeze out of our existing processes or factories, or by tweaking them and putting tighter controls on what we're doing? Or do we need to say to our sales staff, we need X amount longer days in the sense of when we can close as a purchase producer and these types of things, so we can realistically meet contract dates, et cetera. So what has happened is I believe that we found a way to squeeze maybe a day and a half out of the previous workflow to pick up some of that 3-day CD window. But we're obviously busy, David, right? Everybody in the industry is busy, right? And so we're meeting a bunch of our metrics, but we're pushing a lot of loans. I think we're more efficient. So I don't know that we've moved the needle in the sense of I'm now doing it in 21 days versus 28 days, but I'm certainly moving more units across the assembly line and the factory floor than we previously were. And for the most part, sales is happy. You know, obviously sales always wish things were done faster. my loan's more important than someone else's loan, all that stuff. This is my best realtor, yada, yada, yada. I think for the most part, we've got some good synergies between sales and operations, and everybody is trying to live up to their, we call it an SLP, service level promise. I think we stole that from you. I don't know whether we did or didn't.
You're using it. That's the most important part.
Yeah, we're using it, right? And so people talk about that. Let's talk about that
for a minute, because I think that's a key part of it, and you really champion that. Well, we suggested you champion it in your organization. And so talk about those service level promises in exchange. Run through that real quickly, and then I want to get into cost improvements. Look at the time, how fast it goes. I just love talking to you, Keith. But run through that. Explain the SLPs.
Yeah, so the SLP was, depending on where you sit in the assembly line, you know, call from a processor standpoint, because I think everybody can – I mean, we all manufacture loans. So
right.
whether we call them whatever, there's all these tasks that have to get done, right? So we'll start with most organizations have a processor, right? Some individuals have a processor. So if we talk about a processor, downstream for the processor would be the sales function, right? So they need to serve the LOs or loan officer assistants. And then upstream, the processor serves the underwriter, right? So that's where it goes to, right? So the processor sets the file up, gets it ready for underwriting, goes to underwriting. So what we've done is we have agreement between both the upstream and downstream parties. So at the processor group would have negotiated with the sales group what they would do and what the sales group would do. So if the sales group said we would do A, B, C, and D, and that's what they actually delivered, then the processing group said, if you give us A, B, C, and D, we will do X, Y, and Z in this time frame and under the in this circumstances, et cetera, and then we just kept moving that whole process through the entire factory floor. So then processing had an upstream SLP to the underwriters that basically said, I will do A, B, and C for you, and then underwriting had to negotiate what they would do if, in fact, it came the way that processing came to it, right?
Yeah.
And so that those are really what we live to. And the other thing is it also takes away, if those are clearly defined and clearly communicated, sort of the Bill Belichick, just do your job, it takes away finger-pointing.
Yes, that's the best part of this thing, clear to communicate. Yes, go ahead.
So when the ball gets dropped, because it's going to get dropped. Right, there's humans involved.
Yes.
Right, so the ball's going to get dropped. I didn't see that email come in or whatever it is. There's no finger point. It removes the finger pointing and it takes the way. One of the things that I'm sure everybody else has experienced. This is processors enable LOs, underwriters enable processors. Everybody tries to cover everybody's back when a ball's dropped. You don't have to do this anymore. You just say, listen, I did my job. I did the XYZ that I said I was going to do. I met my service level promise. And it's not to skirt responsibility, but it's just to hold everybody accountable in the organization to do their job.
Do their job. As Belichick so well, I have that. I look at that constantly.
Well, as you know, that's in every one of my manager's office at eye level as you leave the office. It's Bill Belichick pointing at them saying, ignore the noise, just do your job.
That's exactly where I hang mine. I saw it in your office, and maybe because I was so impressed with that. So let's talk briefly about cost improvements. Have you realized, costs have been going up in our industry. So, because of regulation, costs are going crazy. So, have you been able to quantify any cost savings or at least been able to manage costs more effectively as a result of this process?
I don't want to share any sort of specific metrics, David, but I can tell you my margins have never been better.
That's good. That's it. That's what it's all about. Giving people the homeowner dream of home ownership, financing that for ultimate customer. But in the process of doing so, having happy employees, good morale, and then doing so with fatter margins – man, that's very, very encouraging.
Well, as you're aware, our trademark, ad line is making mortgages better.
And yeah.
That's really what is concentric to everything we do. Did you make mortgages better today? Right? What did you do to make mortgages better? I think we're being rewarded for our efforts by the consumers that we serve, but as also as a purchase producer, the realtor builder developer community, how well they speak of Radius. We're held in high regard that if you're, a consumer coming into a realtor's office and saying, listen, I'm already working with Radius, then they usually just sort of say, okay, that's a great company and you should be well served. And, we're proud of that. And I obviously have a very strong origination team that these are career loan officers. They do a really good job because the fact of the matter, David, as you are aware, you used to be an owner, is that loan manufacturing quality starts at origination. And if the originators bring us good raw material, the factory runs really much smoother than when we've got poor origination.
You're legendary in what you have, but then you did what I did. You crossed over to the operational side. Some would say that's the dark side. I think it's the bright side. It's where it really happens. But then you look at the team at Sarah and you guys have put together the originators. You have some of the top originators in your markets working for you. So kudos to you And what are some compelling reasons what you would share with your peers as we wrap up this interview? What are some compelling reasons for people to say, you know, encouragement that they – compelling reasons why they should look at doing business process mapping and notations and be purposed about their business? What would you encourage them? What are the words you'd use to encourage them to do so?
Employee engagement. I mean, everybody tries to measure employee engagement, but if you don't live it as a management team, you're not going to get the results. I mean, when you have an engaged workforce, you reduce turnover. You know, think of it. My LOs are being recruited every single day, just like everybody else's top LOs in this business. I have my underwriters being recruited. If they're engaged and believe that they have a voice in the company and can effectuate the way the business is run, they're less likely to leave you for, quote, unquote, greener pastures, because many times greener pastures do not exist out there. And I just think it's employee engagement. I think if you have an engaged workforce and you have a fair relationship, that's the other thing that I always talk to my employees about. You know, I need to pay you fairly, and you believe that you're being paid fairly, and I need to believe that I'm getting a fair day's work for what we're paying for you. So if that's balanced, right, and they're rewarded for efforts, especially when they meet their benchmarks and all of those things, then again, I think they don't look for greener pastures. They sometimes probably don't take those calls. So I think there's just, you know, building an organization that was less susceptible to employee leakage. Is one of the byproducts of it. And then also, I think you provide a better customer experience. If you have your processes outlined and done and people are working to that end, then you're going to give a better customer experience. And the fact of the matter is as we get into serving the millennials, who are very much, I want it now, I want it today.
Yes.
If you don't have that, you're going to have that potential consumer scratching their head as to why did I choose any specific lender, whether that be Radius or anybody else. So I think you have to just be set on continuous improvement and refining of your process. And, you know, and if you need to engage outside people, because as small and mid-sized companies, we don't always have the human resources that can be a project management team. It's money well worth spent to engage outside parties that can, in fact, be the drivers of it and make sure that the company is focused for the short time that they are there in getting this done. Because we've spent too many years in this business always letting business get in the way. And if we look at the hockey stick growth we've had over the last 4 or 5 years, it's because we stopped that vicious cycle.
Yep,
you know, we're smart people, would make a really good list of what we want to execute next year, and then that list would dust it off in the fourth quarter and say, holy crap, we didn't accomplish any of this.
Well, that's exactly what goes out of so many places. Keith, thank you. It's just such a joy to have you on, and I look at the clock, and I respect your time, but I want to say thank you so much for your sharing with our guests, our listeners, what I think is to be one of the most exemplary companies in the industry. And if you haven't heard of Radius Financial, folks, you're going to, because they are growing at an exponential rate. They're out. The people, the quality people. I mean, go back and listen to the August 15th broadcast where I had Dustin Demerit of Radius Financial talking about marketing yourself and your company. I have had more requests of the downloads of that podcast than I've had of many, many others. So hopefully people will be enthusiastic about fixing their process as a result of your words of encouragement, Keith. Thank you so much for being here.
Pleasure's mine, David. Always a joy speaking with you. Have a great day.
You bet.
It's good to have Keith on the program. Appreciate you tuning in and being a part of it. We ran slightly over. I apologize. We're 6 minutes over from what I like to try to get done here. Another thing is I sit and listen to myself as I interview someone. You hear all these things going, man, could have said that in a few less words. So anyway, good to have you be a part of the podcast, everybody. Appreciate your feedback. Give us ideas and suggestions on what you would like to hear on this. We do a lot of programs based on sponsor feedback, but as well as our listener feedback. Listener feedback is just so important. Appreciate you tuning in. Next week we'll be broadcasting live from the Motivity User Conference in Denver, Colorado. looking forward to that. We'll be interviewing a number of the people there, and we're focusing, of course, KPIs, process management, how to do what we are doing better, faster, cheaper. And look forward to having you back and tuning in next week. Appreciate you so much. Have a great week, everybody, and look forward to broadcasting to you or talking to you from Denver next week. Have a great week.
This has been Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lincoln of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.